little bit of housekeeping before. So last week, one thing that we talked about is, now, we truly believe the scriptures. We don't give it lip service, because God, when He gave us some things for our benefit, for our understanding, it was because we were walking out of the illusion. We're walking this thing out with Christ Jesus. He's, you know, when He said that He came to recover sight for the blind, and so when you're blind, your eyes are closed. But also when you're asleep, your eyes are closed. And so when He opens our eyes, we wake up. Salvation is ultimately waking up, you know, and waking up from the illusion. So Jesus, when we talk about people being saved, most people don't even know what salvation is. You know, like, Jesus saved you from what? You know, what did He save you from? Oh, from hell. Okay, what's hell? It's a place with fire. I mean, what is this, you know? And so, like, everybody's petrified about this place where people are going to go, and you're going to hell, but what is it? You know, what is hell? What are these realities? What is it that God saves us from? You know, aren't these questions that would be nice to get answers to? Isn't it? But Jesus, when He opens our eyes, He wakes us up from the illusion, and we begin to walk out of the illusion in this life. And that walking out process is also a walk within, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. So it's inside of you, because so He opens Himself up in you, He reveals Himself to you in you, and then you go both out and within in this emancipation process from the illusion. So God is doing that with those that, now, the world and the world that we live in, and every single religion in the world, including the religion of Christianity, and I have to say this, is designed to keep you from ever getting out, from ever waking up. And the thing that's the most dangerous about the religion of Christianity in its many forms is that it has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. It claims Jesus, but then it keeps people from ever getting to Jesus. So it says, okay, we got Jesus in here, everybody else over there, you're all going to hell, let's bomb the Arabs, and, you know, I mean, seriously, this is where they're coming from. And but it keeps people on this Ferris wheel, you know, so let's get you all in here, hamster in the cage. You know, why is everybody trying to gather all the members to the church? For what? Why do you want them to sign your cards? And because they have nothing to do with them, now, okay, let's build a bigger building. You know, let's build a bigger place so we can pack even more people in here, and let's get you spending your next 25 years to try to build this thing and pledge your future income by faith. You know, absolutely ridiculous stuff going on. But all of this stuff is to keep you from ever coming into who you were designed by God to be. To keep you stuck in the illusion. To service men. They keep you serving man and the systems of men. The curse of the law was you needed a man to get to God. And they keep you in that. So now you have a new person you serve. He's the elder, or he's the pastor, or he's the whatever. God, direct connection to the Father through Christ Jesus. Your eyes are open. Walk. Now, priesthood of all believers, welcome. That's who you are. You have the Father. He's in you. His words remain in you. You're bearing fruit. You're walking it out. In this process, part of, I think, God's design in pulling me out of here is to spur you all to take some steps. Because see, here's the thing. All of us get programmed. We get programmed. I mean, the damage done to me in 20 years of church systems. I mean, seriously, the damage done to me in being on pastoral staff. I'll show you the driver's license picture I had taken when I was a pastor. I was absolutely miserable. You think I look bad right now because I haven't got much sleep. I was probably the most miserable in my life servicing those systems because it wasn't God, but it was what you were told is God.
But how scary is that?
How true is that? I'm being honest with you.
But the whole world is in church. Like, that's what they're learning.
Yeah, and what they're brought into the whole world is in bondage.
But don't you think it's generalizing to a certain extent?
I'm not
every single person that has had the same experience.
Yeah, what I'm doing is, that's again what part of what I'm doing here is I'm just sharing. You know, I'm just sharing my experiences with this. Now, it's not all bad. It hasn't all been bad. God also did some powerful, wonderful things in my life through all this stuff. But ultimately, there's this process of growth. Because see, even when people came to Jesus and he said, you know, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this, 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 and this in your name? And he says, I never knew you. Depart from you, workers of iniquity. They were doing all kinds of stuff in God's name. And lots of good stuff was happening around them, even while they were doing stuff in his name. The wheat and the tares grow together. God still finds a way to meet people in the midst of whatever situation, anybody with a heart for God, he will find a way to meet them. You can be in the middle of the worst possible satanic orgy going on, but if you have a heart for God and you call out to him, he will find a way to meet you there by his Holy Spirit and his power. So anybody that has a heart for God, he will meet them there. But in the waking up process, as he's waking you up, then, you know, it's like, but you don't stay there. You know, you start progressing. You're like, okay, now what? You know, God. And then as he begins to do that with you, then it's like, okay, whoa, wait a second. So maybe all of this isn't all that it's cracked up to be. Or maybe this isn't what it's all about. Maybe it's not about building a bigger building or getting everybody to show up here or saving the world, because actually that's not our job. It isn't. See, I know, I just right there, there's some, like, really? No, Jesus said no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So if God's not drawing somebody, how am I going to save them? The Spirit of God draws and prepares and brings everybody to him. And in fact, every one of us whose eyes were open to the Father, he did that. He opened us up to our need for him at his divine time in each of our lives. And when that happened, all of a sudden now I woke up because he woke me up, not because somebody else's efforts to try to do something like that. So with the churches and the systems of the world, they put the pressure on you. They give you the burden of saving. You couldn't save yourself. What makes you think you can save somebody else? So take the pressure off, leave it with the Father, and say, Lord, all right, here it is. I am open to whatever it is that you're doing. Wherever it is that you are, that's where I want to be. Whatever it is that you're up to, that's what I want to be up to. Show me. Lead me. Guide me. Teach me. I'm yours. And you're mine. Simple as that. What does this mean? What does it mean to walk life out with you? What does it mean to... You're the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, where are we going? You're away. Where are we going? And if people can't begin to start telling you those things, why are we following them? You know, or they say, okay, follow me. All right, where are you going? There's an audio, actually, I posted on the site. The Jesus, the way to where. But basically, it's like, where are you going? So we talked about that a little bit. So a different place, but ultimately we are going somewhere with Christ. And when you make up your mind to do that, to break out of to break out of everything that by his power, because he's setting you free, everything in this world will come to try to bring you back in, to keep you from ever doing that. And because of that, you have to realize that's part of the game, is to harvest your soul, is to keep you from ever waking up, to keep you bound. You're cool, man. Come. You know what? This is a historical moment. We have more guys here than girls right now. Tell Kavi, man, he calls us the Women's Fellowship. Okay. All right. So, ultimately, each of us walks this thing out on our own. I mean, we fellowship with each other, we spend time with each other, we encourage each other, we share what God shows us, but we're each walking this thing out before the Father for yourself. You're the only one that can be honest before God about you, about what's going on with you, about every struggle that you have, about, and you're the only one that can do that. Somebody else can't do that for you. And so it's not, going to church is not it. The systems of man, the do's and don'ts is not it. For example, okay, the churches, by the very systems they put in place, they create more problems than they ever fix. The systems that are in place to try to make you be good and have you have some form of godliness. So do this, don't do that. Don't go to the movie, but go rent the DVD. I mean, it's like, what? You know, where does this stuff come from? Where does all these man-made systems come from? But they bind people up. They put constraints, restrictions around people. And in that process, people get so wrapped up that, and they never deal with the reality of who they are, what's going on inside of them. And so then it's just this cover-up festival where, okay, oh, you did this. Oh, I saw you here. Oh, I heard this about you. Oh, and they're all petrified. And then it's who's got what on who. Who cares? Who cares? Really? In that process, though, just go back through the last 2 years of church history in this country. You know, just the AOG. One of their key pastors was caught in a government child sex sting operation.
Really?
Yeah. Head of Candy Church. You know about that one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, they've been covering that one up.
With the Candy Church.
Yeah, okay, you did hear about that one. yeah. Several of them, there's suicide. One of them knocked himself off because he couldn't take all the stuff that's going on around him. No, I'm just starting. Yeah. There's been the, I'm just talking to you about the leadership. And then how many of these guys are involved in business that when people also know about their business practices, and several of, you know, so I'm just talking to you about the ones that I know about. But I'm just saying, because what happens is they cover for each other. They take care of each other. They watch over each other in these systems, but nobody ever, they're not free. They haven't ever been set free. See, when you come to Christ, when we come to Christ, come to Him clean. Be like, all right, God, here's me. You know, this is the stuff I struggle with. This is who I am. This is what's going on with me. And when you do that, what happens is that He begins to restructure you. He begins to redesign you. So what He, all of a sudden, it's Him in you, you in Him, and it's not, okay, I will do this, or I won't do this, or I'll just be good now, or I won't go read Harry Potter, or, you know, and what happens is, I mean, the stuff's ridiculous. What happens is that He takes you, and you, your desires become what His are. Your life, your heart becomes what His is. Your mind becomes like Christ. You remember that, all right, Isaiah said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, my thoughts above your thoughts, right? But also Paul wrote and said, hey, you're seated in heavenly places. So, you are seated in a place when your eyes are open and you can see into the dimension of spirit where you hear the very word of God, where you're transformed into that reality. And from that place, you can spend your entire life walking. And you know His thoughts. They're made known to you. You know His ways. They're made known to you. You become His thoughts. You become His ways. You become an ambassador of Christ, an actual representative. When people see you, they see God. So it's no longer this. The systems do not work. They never have. And what they do is they keep you from ever doing that. And then they create a bunch of perverts. Or a bunch of people that have all this stuff bottled up and they're all just trying to be good. For who? If God sees you, if God knows every thought, every intention of your heart, everything you do behind closed doors, all of that, nothing's hid from Him, and He's the one that brings your life into account, then who are you doing it for? You're doing it for people. Because they love the praises of men more than the praises that come from God. So, the systems, just let God show you what to do with whatever situation you're around, wherever it is that you are. I think a lot of you are where you are because He has a rescue mission for you. He'll use you for in those places. So be open for that. But realize that there's a game going on. There's a game that's going on for your heart, for your mind, for your soul, and the world. So, but the systems, the religious systems of the world, and I don't want to just go after the organization of the church, all of them, they're all designed to do that. So the systems of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, I mean, Buddhism began as a philosophy. They made it into a religion because, you know, well, we don't want people to get start looking for enlightenment and to get out of this reality. Let's create a religion and a system again to keep you in. So that's where the world is coming from. So you are on that path. Jesus is that path out. He's that way out. So as you're on that path, just be open, honest. Let Him break you. Let Him take every desire, every hope, every aspiration, be lost in Him. As you do that, He reshapes you. And when He reshapes you, all of a sudden it's like, are you, you know, ask yourself, are you free? You know, do you have the joy that God promised? And if not, where, why not? What's missing? Go to Him with that. Say, God, what's missing in this? Why am I not, where is this? You know, what am I missing here? Is this all there is? So, okay. Hey, ¿cómo estás? Come. Okay. So let's look at. Good. Okay. Ratios. Okay. So that's just kind of a little bit of an intro. But yeah. Well, no, first thing is, since we did finish up a series, we do have a Q&A. So today we start off with a Q&A. We also have some housekeeping and I have something kind of else. So we'll finish this one out right. So, all right, with some of the stuff that we've gone through, I've, you know, just kind of like by God's way and that He's kind of shaped this whole thing, I just see it as a constant equipping. You know, I learned some stuff when God had me out in other places, and He's just like, look, just pass this on. This is the way we do it. I am not gathering anybody. I will, the way God works with me, 2 weeks, I can end up somewhere else, and like for the next, but I don't know. That's just the way that He has it. That's why, as several of you have been like, Govinda, please come back. Because, well, because no, because you know that he's done that before. You know, where all of a sudden, I didn't intend on being in Sri Lanka for 2 years, this last time I got here. I was coming here for vacation when the tsunami happened while I was on the way. So, but that was God's design, God's timing as well. So in the midst of natural disasters and the world falling apart, God's taking care of, leading, directing, guiding, keeping, and has me in a place and sets a provision for whatever he's got. So we work different than the world. But, you know, Noka last week, she said, oh, so 40 years from now when we... I'm like, no, no, no. There is no 40 years. There is none of that. All of us are on a journey. And while we're on this journey, we fellowship together, we share together, but we walk this thing out. You know, I believe... I don't want to say all, but probably all of you, God will take you, scatter you all over the world. You know, and he'll bring you back. And he'll, but he'll have you going all over the place. So it's not a, you know, that's just his way. Because his people, anybody that's available to him, he puts on an amazing adventure. That is his path, that is his part of it. This life, when you're in him, it becomes an adventure. Because it's like, and you don't die. You're set free from death. So it's like you don't have to worry. Your provision's taken care of. He says, all right, look, I'll take care of it. Seek first the kingdom. That's wrapped up. He's got that taken care of. If you were to pass on from this life, it's a blessing. Thank God. You know, so it's like, but while you're here, you're awake in the dream. I talked about that example a couple times back where I said, have you ever been dreaming? And you woke up and you realized you were dreaming? How cool is that? Because then while you're sleeping and you realize that you're dreaming, and it's just like, oh God, I can do anything. And you know, no, you just start like, and you start making up things. You know, you start jumping off buildings and landing on cars, and then you wake up, you're like, huh. But you know what? That's what. But that is this place. That is this world. That is this reality. When Jesus wakes you up, he wakes you up in the dream, here. But that's part of why they work so hard to keep you from ever waking up, because of the danger that you become if you realize what God has put in you, what you have access to, who you are. I mean, so it's like... Yeah, I remember with swimming, just, you know, for example, when I first got into college, and right away, like, I was swimming really fast, and there were some guys came up to me basically after a practice and were like, you know, you shouldn't be able to swim that fast, and I believed them. I was like, oh, yeah, you're probably right, so in my head, something switched, and all of a sudden I just kind of settled into the level for a while of where I was expected to be. So there is a game for your mind. Now this is just, I'm not talking about the power of positive thinking, but I'm just saying, but there is a battle for your mind, to control your mind, to control your thoughts, to keep you from ever realizing who you are. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. God wants you to emancipate, to come out, to be free from the illusion. But you make the decision if you will go that way. Now, and the systems around you are to keep you from doing that. So, Q&A, these last... how long have we been doing this? For a while now. Several months. Okay, last several months. Kind of in hindsight, what kind of questions do we have at this point?
If Actually,
what I was
asking,
we
had a list of
questions. Oh, no, I know. No, I mean,
Not related to this subject,
yeah.
We are studying. I want to know the significance of baptism.
Baptism. Okay. Baptism, all right, I'll give you the theological, is an outward expression of an inward grace, but basically like is just a physical demonstration of what God has done. So when, you know, when the early church would baptize people, it's like, all right, it's a representation of, you know, the old person is dead and the new person alive in Christ comes forward. So, which, if you think about it, how often does that really happen? You know, most people go down wet devils and come up wet devils. So it's like, it's I know. You guys keep saying that. Yeah. But basically, it was just a way that people expressed what God had done in them.
But do we need to do that? No, as in Roman Catholics, you don't do it as in you knowingly do it. It's done. Not in case. Yeah. But
yeah.
Should you kind of really go through it? You know,
it's not necessary for you to actually go through the process of baptism.
You know, this is a good chance to make a point here. Okay, say we have a question like this one, right? Where it's on baptism. Now, thousands of schools of thought, thousands of different people saying different things different ways. And so many people that will say, you need to do this, and you need to do this, and well, you know, in the Bible, when you look in the original Greek, it says this, and well, my church has always done it like this. And so what happens is people will, over a legitimate question or a concern, all of a sudden now, okay, here's what you need to do, and here's how you need to do it. What I say for this and so many other things like this, is now at this point I'm like, look, go before the Father and say, God, what do you want me to do with this? Where are you leading me? Do you want me to do anything with this? Do you want me to get baptized? You know, well, okay, show me in your word or speak to me in my heart, or what do you want me to do with this? Because usually when God will stir a question in your heart, it's because He wants to do something with you in that area. Allow Him to reveal that to you. Open discussions, yeah, with other people. Talk to some people, sure, why not? We share and we fellowship with our own experiences. But ultimately, let what happens with you be what the Spirit of God leads you into. Because if not, your faith will again be put in the traditions of man, and something that you put in trust on what somebody else told you, and your faith is put in somebody else's explanation, usually based on the character or the validity of a person, because it's something you see in there. Oh, okay, so brother so and so, who's been pastor of such and such church for 25 years, told me that we must be immersed in water and come up speaking in tongues, or otherwise it's not valid.
But isn't it as an act of obedience that we actually get baptized because of these things in the world?
Yeah. Well, there is something in the word, but because scriptures talk about, okay, like, all right, so let's take something like this. Let's go to Acts. But act of obedience, but it's like obedience to what? To a spirit that would have come alive in you that would be leading and guiding you to do it. Not to a man, not to a person, not into an institution, not to be baptized a Catholic, not to be baptized a Protestant, not to be sprinkled, not to be dunked. Because a spirit has come alive in you that says to you, look, here's something that would be a good idea for you. Here's something that would be, this is the way I'm leading. Oh, shoot, I do everything he tells me anyway, so yeah, why not? You see what I'm saying? Not because, okay, now the institution, because now we have a processing machine that we put you through when you come in. So quick, all right, now you've come in, raise your hand at the front, say the sinner's prayer. Okay, good, now check one. Next thing to do is to get you into the tank. And to see, I'm serious. Have you ever seen a meat packing, like the way that they work with the cows when they like bring them in? No, it is that. The system, it is that.
The best analogy so far.
That is. You get processed like cattle when they move you through there. And you are seen as a resource. You are seen as something that can be made money off of. You are seen as something for the benefit of an institution to push whatever it is that they got going on. That's how you are viewed. Because heaven forbid that you would actually walk out God's plan and purpose for your life, that you would actually hear from God for yourself and know what it is that He has for you to do. Heaven forbid that all of a sudden your eyes might be open and He might have you do something that nobody's ever done before. No, it couldn't be, because God couldn't possibly speak to you, right? You have to have it processed through somebody else that is your mediator between God and man. Oh, shoot, I forgot that was the curse of the law. Well, can't let you know that either, so let's keep you out of the Bible. Let's have you show up once a week for half a verse and a bunch of slobbering on the microphone. No, I am being absolutely real with you right now, because my hope is that in your walk that you would see through the illusion that's there as well, and what has been designed to keep you from ever opening up and coming to the Father and knowing Him for yourself. So, okay, so something like baptism, where you have your where in Acts chapter 2 verse 37 says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts." So Peter goes, he gives them a word, it's anointed by the Holy Spirit. They're just like, oh gosh. Alright, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." Okay. Excuse me. So, here you go. So here's something in Scripture where it says, alright, people heard something, the Spirit of God pricked them. What happened? The Spirit of God was waking up in their heart, something like that, and He was leading in a direction, and they went with it. Cool. Do it.
It's the conviction.
Because if you do not have, if the Spirit of God has not opened up your heart to something, and if it's not something that comes from the leading and guiding and directing of the Holy Spirit, all it is external acts that are devoid of an internal work of the Spirit. So all it is the wheat and the tares grow together, and they, you see the difference. For you, it has to be real. If it's not real, forget it. So maybe, you know, it's like, so he's not showing that to you. Then don't do anything with it. Somebody comes up to you like, oh, you know, you mean you have not yet been baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues? You know, so that, well, you know, because I, you know, Paul said I speak in tongues more than, well, who cares? What's the Spirit of God speaking to you? Where are you in your walk with Him? What is He showing you today? What would he lead you into? Maybe there's something else entirely different that he's pulling you into right now. It has nothing to do with somebody else's religious bondage that they want you to get on their bandwagon. Maybe God wants to have you 2 weeks away in some cave somewhere to show you something, and you're going to miss five Bible studies. So what? You know? Oh, you didn't check the register at the Friday night miracle night. You weren't there in time.
You didn't sign in.
You didn't sign in. Yeah, you didn't sign in. Oh, gosh. Watch out. You might lose your salvation. You know? And what does this lose of salvation? You know? Got to keep you in fear. Got to keep you in bondage. Okay. So, with something like that, or like with anything else, you have a question like that, take it to the Father. Because what happens is He'll start to open up the Word to you too. And you start to open up your spirit as well in that area. He starts to point things out to you. Whatever He shows you, trust the way that He shows it to you. And then says, okay, Lord, what do I do, if anything, with this? Maybe He'll have you baptize yourself in your home tub. Why not? If you are a priest, a priesthood of all believers, then you see what I'm saying. Why not? Couldn't that, is that not legitimate now? Because you don't have the degree from a cemetery. Sorry, seminary, sorry.
You got it from cemetery.
Pun intended.
I see that photo of you on time. I was at the beach. There were three people with me, and that's it. It was my conviction. It was the Lord's plan for me, and I prayed through it before I actually did it, but it was the beach. It was not some big thing. Wearing white is white concept, right? I was wearing short.
No, there is no end to... Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's just your heart that says, okay, Lord, I want to take the next step further, maybe closer to you, or maybe He's just convicting you, and you do it because of Him.
Because here's another thing too. There's this huge thing that came out with these churches between baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then this other one where Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ. And this whole thing of, oh, okay, you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, you were baptized in the name of Jesus. Yours is invalid because they didn't use the right names. You know, they didn't say the right words. You see what I'm...
The classes.
Yeah. It misses it completely. And so people are stuck in a bondage of mind and rote and ritual and repetition and come in here and, oh, okay, if you can just get it right, you might hit. You know, you might actually hit the jackpot with God and get what you finally hope for in the world. Sorry. No, I don't apologize. I'm not going to apologize to you guys tonight, for sure. Because this is my last one. You guys can run me out of town now. It's not a big deal. There is no more. Whatever the Spirit of God speaks to you, go with it. And if you are honest before Him, He's not going to steer you wrong. If you start out with Him, just like, God, this is me. This is who I am. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm struggling with. I don't know what's going on. Be honest with them like that. Or I have a question about this. Everybody's, you know, just show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. Show me what's going on. Teach me. You teach me your word. You know, ask Him to teach the word. He promised. He said, here, John, let me show you this. Let's go back, John 16. John 16, verse 13, He said, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that will He speak, and He will show you the things to come. Alright, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Alright, Spirit come? Has He come? Yes. So, God, you said when the Spirit came that He would guide us into all truth. So, Lord, let the Spirit guide me into all truth. So guide me. Teach me. Show me what's true. Show me what I need to know. I don't need to ask a person. I can ask you. You can open up my heart and mind to show me. You can keep me from deception. I can trust the way you speak to me in the Word. If you start with just basically saying, Lord, take me. Here I am.
No, but what's confusing is, okay,
yeah.
I've never been convicted to be baptized, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just that, you know, the social norms, the church, you know, or people just saying that, oh, you need to be baptized, kind of thing. You know, it doesn't feel right for me. But
well,
I don't...
So if you are walking life out, does God speak to you? Yes. So when He speaks to you, what's He? Maybe He doesn't. Maybe He would talk to you about this 5 years from now. There's something else He's more important to talk to you about right now. That's just where you're at. That's what's going on with you. Because you had, there's something else. Or maybe, you know, maybe your kid thing was just fine by Him. You know? No, I mean, it's like, why, when everybody else wants to get involved in, again, what's the goal? To control you. And if it's not that, it'll be something else.
Sure. Yeah, but then again, you're like confused with you know, He's sending other people to get the message across to you.
So then ask Him. So then all you do is ask Him. Look, Lord. Yeah, no, because, yeah.
It's something that's spiritual.
Yeah. Well, the way, like, okay, there's a pastor friend of mine in the States who just said, you know, his statement was, you know, sprinkle, dunk, God doesn't care, He just wants you to get wet. But I mean, but his thing was just like, look, don't get caught up on the theology. Just, you know, understand the doctrine behind it, the basic principle behind it. All it is an external.
It's a conviction of the spirit and conviction of the heart.
Yeah, because exactly. Well, see here, if it's not the Spirit of God leading you to do that, then what ends up happening is you end up doing something for a person, for a system, for an institution, didn't come from you in the first place, and so it's not led by the Spirit, it's a work of vanity, because it's based on you trying to appease a system, you trying to do something again to be good enough. Let the Spirit of God lead you. If He wants you to do that, He'll have you do that. If not, then He won't. So we just trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to you, have Him do something with you, leave it at that. So it's like, if not, then just say, hey, you know, He's not leading me to that right now, thank you, next please. Why not? It's your walk with the Father, not theirs. How are they going to tell you what God is speaking to you? Because the whole thing when we were talking even about different gifts that God puts in the body, He wires all of us differently. We all have different assignments. We all have different things that God... Trust the way that He speaks, and what He puts on your heart is different than somebody else's. There are some general things that go across the board, sure. But even with those, if you're walking with the Spirit, He leads you into that. So when you're out of place, He works with you on that. So, my encouragement is always just to follow the leading and direction and guidance of the Spirit. Because if you don't do that, what happens is somebody will, you'll be going for a system. Is that helpful? Okay. Yeah. Good question. Yeah.
Oh, yes, sorry, I didn't hear that.
Well, the relevance to the system is to get you committed.
Don't get married. Yeah.
No, but it's really not. It's just an administrative
issue.
No, the relevance is to try to make you committed to that system for the rest of your life. So it's like, okay, we were married in such and such church on such and such place.
You don't have much of a choice because
you can get married afterwards.
You have to fill a book. Fill up a book. Nobody, you have to be in that church for them to come to bless your house, your children's school, funeral, whatever.
No,
okay. Marriage, scripturally, is an institution that God made. So it's something that God made, God designed. There's a way that He designed for it to work. There's a way that He... So it's His thing. Most people aren't married. Most people are shacking up, actually. But, that's where, again, so it's like, okay, what is... Then that's a good point. So then you start there and you say, okay, marriage, you know, what is it? God... What is it? Can you show me what it is? Can you teach me a little bit about it? Because I don't know. I mean, somebody says, because that's like, all right, that's some side question of, okay, why, you know, where to, whatever. Here's some logistical issue about it. But what is the whole thing about? What did God intend for in the first place when He made and designed that? We made one point back here a while ago, which was that by God's original design, by God's spiritual design, is to make one mind out of two. So that is part of God's intention with that. So you can have a 5-star $20 million wedding and be completely split and absolutely lonely from somebody for the 3 years before you go and check out what the prenup said, but God designed it a certain way. There's something that He intended. So, but yeah, place. All right, if it's a spiritual institution, but there is flesh that's involved as well. So it's like you have, you know.
So what do you say?
Well, so, I mean, I understand that there's... All right. Place doesn't matter. Because I've seen...
Your brother.
Yeah, I mean, your brother's wedding was beautiful.
Really?
Right on the beach. Before God's creation. That was beautiful. Didn't matter. Again, do it wherever the Spirit of God leads you to.
Exactly.
See,
I just hear the way the law is. That's crazy.
Ah, just laws. There's a higher power, higher way in effect. Okay. Any more that are absolutely not related to the stuff we've gone through over the last few months?
But we started on the 11th of April.
We did start on. Cool. Wow, we've come through some time.
So you're actually leaving for good?
No, I'm leaving for about 6 weeks.
Okay.
I'll be back.
I was like, it sounds
really good. Yeah, I know.
No, but you know, no. Here's one thing too. I
you guys dress appropriately in
fact. Yeah.
Oh, no, we don't.
No, part of the adventure with God is that so much can change, so much can be different. Where you don't, you have, yeah, where you just like, you're walking and it's like everything can shift. So yeah, we do make some plans, we do have some ideas, but just like that, He can turn your entire reality around. And you're up for that because you know that he's in control. So it's just, you're available. So like, yeah, so for me, I'm like, I mean, I think, of course, I 90% probability, of course, I'll be back, no problem, on schedule, on time, here. Do you, I was like, no, just do reruns, man. Yeah.
No, we can't.
Try somebody else. But whatever it is that God is up for, that's where you are. Because you belong to Him, and He belongs to you. He lives through you, and your life is enveloped in Him. So it's like, whatever. It's cool. And if He's got you translocal, and moving around and going to different places, doing different things, your whole reality can shift. You can be in Antarctica in a week. Why not? There were, when you go back through like Acts, there are people where God just picked them up and dropped them off somewhere else. Like Philip. He just, with baptism, he was baptizing the eunuch from Ethiopia, and then all of a sudden, when the eunuch came up out of the water, Philip was gone. The Spirit of God just picked him up, dropped him off somewhere else. Philip didn't complain. He wasn't like, oh gosh, I wanted to meet so-and-so on the way back through. No, he was up for it. As are we. He didn't have to check the church roster to be let go for that week.
Sign up for the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Any more?
Yeah, actually for me it was the gifts, like you were saying, how they were chosen for each, like, country or language or whatever. And I just wanted to find out, like, what, is there a real definition to it, or is it just, if you try to spread for the love, if you spend your time a lot, you know, if you see somebody who needs it, and I do that, if I see somebody who needs the word and who needs the Lord's love, I will push hard enough to actually push them hard enough to get them to come to the Lord. I've done it to a few people, and I think I've created them. And there's no definition for that, is there? Or is it important to have that, or is it just?
Yeah. See, well, okay, with different people, again, now, we talked a little bit about...
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. Let me see if I got it. The systems within the body of Christ, because God gave us even a natural body as a representation, because we are very much structured like that even on a spiritual dimension. But there's different systems that do different things, and all of it works together. So how God's wired you, each of you, is part and parcel of how He has you to work within the body of Christ at large, which is part of why it's important that each of us develops out the way that God designed us originally. With that, there are some people that God likes to use, particularly to wake up other people. Salvation is ultimately just waking up, you know. And then no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them. So the Spirit draws them, and He uses you as somebody that He just likes to use as part of that process. It's just Him doing it through you, given and put certain gifts in you so that that works, you know, very well. It's a nice accompaniment, but it's still the Father doing it. So, but it's still, it's like, it's not you that has to save anybody.
Yeah. I mean, so you don't have to name tag yourself.
No. Well, I mean, the people, no, see, here's, if it was possible for people to, one of my issues is that what's happened within church circles is the name tags have been used as means to lord over other people. So, which is a doctrine called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus said he hates, where one man would seek to conquer the laity, subjugate people to himself. And so this whole thing about I am now an evangelist, or I am a pastor, or I am an apostle or a prophet or whatever, so that now you look to me to be that to you. You see, that's so with the titles, it's like, all right, look, you, whether, you know, what does it say, a rose by any other name still smells as sweet? I mean, it's still the same thing. Yeah. You are still whatever you are without having to. So it's like, if you need to go by a title, but for what reason? Most of the time, the reason the titles are there is because it's a form of self-importance that people need to put. And again, they've taken stuff and they've used it for the institutions of man. You are what you are. You are what the Spirit of God has made you to be.
I don't like the whole concept of name tagging. I think people do it, people don't do it, and that's it. You know, it's the Lord who leads them. You spread it if you want to, or if the Lord leads you, and that's it. There's no.
No, I mean, it's good to know this is a kidney. You know,
yeah,
it's good, but you know, it still has the same function. But the problem is, it's like, oh, kidney on a pedestal.
Exactly.
You know, so it's like kidney's better if you didn't have your kidney. You know, this whole thing. So, all right, okay. Titles are fine as long as people don't get, as long as they don't lose sight of the fact that everybody's on the same level in Christ Jesus. You're just doing different functions. But titles, as soon as they become a means that people lord over each other, then hey, throw them out. Because there is no man between you and Christ. There is no man between you and the Father. Okay, let's do a chapter here. I wanted to go through this a little bit tonight. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now, all right, so Jesus has power over all flesh, including ours. All right. So he can rewire your flesh if you give him whatever's going on with you. Okay. All right. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal. Here it is. That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So, all right. We'll come back. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. They have believed, and thou didst send me, that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I am come unto thee. To thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, that these things I speak in the world, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, and the love, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Okay, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is God's prayer for us, and this, there's, this is probably one, I mean, you can read this chapter plenty of times. Let the Spirit of God speaks new stuff just out of this chapter to me almost every time. You know, there's so much here. But a few things just I wanted to point out with this one tonight is one, verse 15. Oh, actually, let me jump back a little bit. Verse 3 said that they might know thee. All right, so this is life eternal. Not that you were baptized, not that you went to the front and said the sinner's prayer, not that you signed the church register for 25 years. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That is eternal life, to be in relationship, and not relationship, God over there, you over here. That's not the relationship that God is talking about. Because as you keep going on in this chapter, you start seeing where God says, I am, that He is one with the Father, we are one in Him. We become one with God. We're no longer separate from Him. We're reconciled to the Father through Christ Jesus. So what happens is now you actually come into Him. And He, His thoughts, His mind, His ways, it's manifest in you. It comes forward in you. So it's no longer you separate from the Father. You in just... See, I... Okay. I know Dilruk. But, you know, it's there's still... You know, Dilruk's there and we're two separate people. On the Spirit, you and the Father become one. And in the Spirit... You are one with the entire body of Christ. There is no separation. There is no detachment on a spiritual level. That's why when people minister in the Spirit, they minister right to where somebody's at. That's why you can have one person speak the word, 50 different people come in with different things going on in their lives, and one person speaking the word by the Spirit of God will minister to each and every one of those people where they're at that moment in time, because it's one in the Spirit. Whereas the mind of man will try to put together a sermon that hits as many as they can for that Sunday to try to get the numbers, the percentages. In one in the Spirit is what the Father is what we're coming into as well. So the walk in Christ, because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, it is He's also that way into being one with the Father, one within, where you're no longer split, you're no longer having to be, you know, you don't have to have five different faces for, you know, who you are at work and who you are, you know, with your family and who you are in a relationship and who you try to present yourself to so somebody else will like you and who, no, you were just Him. So he does that work. Verse 15, where he said, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Okay. God wants us to be in the world. His desire is that we are here right now. His desire is that we are involved in all that goes on around us and the affairs of this world. He wants for the wheat and the tares to grow together. He desires that in all that's happening, His Spirit comes forward. That He's glorified. That you bear fruit in the midst of all these things that are happening. So you, and how do you bear fruit? By remaining in connection to the vine, to the source. So His desire is that you would do that. You would be that. Just by pure nature of the fact that you're in connection with Him. But He wants you in the world. See, again, let's deal with some church baggage. The goal of most of these institutions is to separate you from it. A holy huddle, off in a corner, hiding. You know? Quick, hide. No. God would have you to be in connection with Him and to go wherever He would send you. And wherever that is, it could be in the heart of whatever. It doesn't matter. You know? And if He sends you there and promotes you, or if He sends you there and you get killed, it doesn't matter. Yeah, it really doesn't. It's just because His desire is that you are in it. So we're in the world, but we're not of the world, but we're still here. So while you're here, live your life in connection and remain on the path where God is walking out and freeing your soul. So you're coming out of the illusion. You're continuously growing. You're continuously, there is no separation. You don't need anybody to instruct you in this thing. If and since God's word is true and what Jesus said is true, that the Spirit of truth which has come leads and guides you into all truth, He will show you everything. He will teach you directly. If you come before Him in honesty, with just straight before Him, say, God, help me, teach me, show me. You know, am I, alright, this thing about being one, what is it? He'll show you. And He'll continue to develop it. See, eternity is there is no, even no time there. It's just continuous stages with the Father. And throughout that, you're always, there's just so much more. Always there's more. So, this, where you shift into eternity now. It's not something you're waiting for. You don't have to wait for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem and, you know, and now the Antichrist is revealed over here and now this. No, you don't have to wait for all that. You shift into eternity now. But, so you're here. You are here. You're in the world. But, and Jesus didn't pray for the world. He prayed for us. He prayed for the disciples and He prayed for us. And He prayed that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we'd be protected from the evil. So, we move in that prayer. It's there for us. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. So we've been sent the same way Jesus has. So when your eyes are open, and when He comes alive in you, we go forward into this world the same way that Jesus did and was here. And in that process, we're rejected the same way that He was. We're attacked the same way he was. We're maligned the same way He was. When we reveal and expose all of the stuff that's going on, they hate that as well. It's okay. We're still following Him. See, we have nothing in this world. We're not trying to gain anything in this world. We're just following the Father. So your hands are clean. Your motives are clean. Your heart's clean. You don't need anything. You don't want anything from anybody. God blesses you to make you a blessing, you bless others. Cool. And just keep going. And oh, verse 20 here, wait, where he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, which is you. Jesus was praying for you, that they may all be one. Not, this is not the ecumenical movement. This is not, let me clarify this one a little bit. The ecumenical movement, which is basically watered down, institutionalized churches that are devoid of the Spirit of God, that are split, 30,000 different splits in the world, plus that then try to come back together on some other form, something else. They try to come back together based on the minimum that they can agree on and stay in the same room and not fight with each other. That was not what Jesus was praying for. Okay? Jesus praying that they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us. That you will be united, enveloped, enraptured, complete in the Father. Where it's no longer you anymore, it's Him. Where He lives and you do not. Where He exists and you no longer exist. You don't exist because He exists. He's just, His whole presence envelops you. And you're lost in Him and you're found in Him. That's what you can have now. Not waiting for something to happen. That's part of the freeing process. So, it makes sense for people to get on that road with Him this day. Choose this day whom you serve. Because otherwise, what else is there? What else is there in this world? If anybody can show me a better option, anybody can show me, give me a better offer. I like the book of Ecclesiastes because Solomon takes everything out to the max. Everything out to the max. Here's a guy with more money than more resources and more that he could thoroughly do himself in. And he took pleasure to the end. He took laughter and folly and wealth and riches and everything he could. Nothing that he could see did he deny himself. He took it all out to the max. And at the end of it, he was just like, vanity, vanity. It's just there's nothing there. There's nothing there with all that they offer, everything that's possible. He just ran himself into the ground, and then after that he just said, you know, conclusion of the whole matter, last two verses in chapter 12. It's like, look, basically, you know, get it right with the Father because He's going to bring it all into, you know, He weighs it all out in the end. But you can have that today. Jesus came that we would have connection, that we would be able to live that out in Him. And when you're one in Him, you're also one in spirit with everyone else that's one in Him. There's no separation. And then that is church. That is what true church is. Isn't that nice to know? That was what God intended, that was what God designed, that is what reality truly is. And that is what you will see when the natural realm is no longer what binds you, and or when you pass on from this dimension. So, it is 8:31. And we are, as always, we can keep going and going and going. But my encouragement for all of you is you're on the path. I don't You know, when we get together like this, it's like it's for me, I'm just doing what God's put on my heart to do. It's not about, you know, getting a group together or growing a study or what. No, I don't. It doesn't matter to me. If there's one person, if there's nobody, you know, I would just do what the Father would show me to do, and then I keep moving. Because I'm on that path with Him. Each of you trusts the way the Father speaks to you. Whatever He shows you, go with it. If you mess up, you messed up trying to follow God. You know, I've done that. Where you screw up and you screwed up, but you were, you know, you were genuinely following the way that the Spirit was, you thought the Spirit was leading you. Like, God messed up. I thought that's the way you were going. You know my, you know where I'm coming from. So you know that anyways. But I really haven't messed up that much like that now, because I'm in step with Him. Because you start learning the way that His voice sounds. Sheep, my sheep know my voice. So, with each of you, trust the way the Spirit of God leads you. And also start to move in what He's put in you. Because as you begin to move with what He's put in you, those gifts, those talents, those abilities, those skills, He wants to use those for His glory while He has you in the world. He wants you to still be in the world, not of it, but He wants you to be here with all the stuff going on. His choice is that you're here. Because there's also an amazing, incredible, fulfilling adventure for you in this life that you will experience, you will know, you will come through, that will beat anything you could ever imagine with your own mind. And there will be pain, there will be tears, there will be ups, there will be downs, all of that. But it's part of His plan, and part of that is the freeing process even of your own soul. You know, like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, there's that whole struggle to get out of the, you know, you go through that. So, the birthing process, all of that. Okay. So, with this, alright, we'll close there. But, let me see, how many weeks? Let me look here. It's the 8th, 15th, 22nd, 29th, 5th, 12th, 19th. Excuse me, 7?
6,
sir. 1, 2, 3,
6.
4, 5, 6. 6 weeks, that's right. 6 weeks. 6 Wednesdays. I talked to Kadi. He said, more than happy for people to keep being here and to keep meeting up if you guys want to. I encourage you, all of you, you have stuff that God is showing you. God is revealing things to you. Andrew, the other day we were talking and I saw you flipping into the scriptures, because while we were going through something here, the Spirit of God was also showing you something else last week. You know, so like you were there, He's showing you something else, referring back to something else that just triggers. That's the way the Spirit of God is working with you. My encouragement is for all of you to either pick up a Wednesday or to split a Wednesday with somebody and just allow the Spirit of God to shape something, to show you something, to give you something to share with other people. And you can all come together and share what God's been showing you and stuff. But, you know, to specifically say, all right, Lord, you know, give me something to share with other people. And allow Him to surprise you. Yes? No? So, first of all, who's up for that? See, this is, again, practice. I suggest all of you do it. that all of you, and that, you know, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, that some of you split, and just, it doesn't have to be long. So two things. One is to sign up for a Wednesday. It's okay. To sign up for a Wednesday, but then also we need one person to kind of be the go-between as far as for Kadi for this place. Just so one person's coordinating and just like, okay, you know, if there's not on or something like that. Yeah. Could you handle that? Okay. So, yeah, I'll give you that. Okay, so Roshi will be the coordinator. The link. Okay, so, Audrey and Deepak. 6 days, or six here. There is.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Aww.
Happy birthday, dear Govinda. Happy birthday to you.
It's not for a while. Thank you, guys.
When was it?
It's not. It's like the end of the month.
End of the month. Oh,
so when you come back, you treat us.
Yes.
Sure, why not?
Or you can just treat us today.
Okay. Yeah, we might as well. Thank you all. Very, very sweet of you. You guys are all so cool. Okay.
I
look like a
domino cake.
Yeah.
What?
No. I appreciate all of you. I didn't say that. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Here. I'll give it to somebody else who can.
Do the honors, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so we can have cake while we sort this too. Okay. Roshi, here, I'll give you this. Yeah, volunteer for, or pick up days. I've got something else for you too. Okay, the 15th is next week. Who's up for August 15th?
Right.
Is it
enough? Anyone?
Oh.
Okay.
No, but we're doing it together.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, I'm going to have you
do it together. No,
I'm doing that.
First
Wednesday.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So you want to do it
Wednesday?
Next week.
Okay.
Should be over here. Yeah.
Okay. So, sure. So they got the 15th.
What is
G and Saku?
G and Saku.
Okay.
J-I and Saku.
All right.
G like the letter
J.
You have all the numbers.
Okay? Yeah, they're in the back of here.
Okay.
So
I'll get emails.
Okay.
Oh, wait, you guys are parsing the place around.
Yeah. Then the 22nd. Tanya's got the 22nd. Okay, I'll give you something else. Oh, you're splitting with Tanya.
Yeah.
Okay. The 29th.
I will, but let's just get that. 29th.
Thank you. Three?
Why is cakes going around there?
I don't know. A plate's going around, cakes going around.
We're going to have to
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
29?
Oh, you guys have the... Okay, sorry, 29th. Have you?
Okay.
Inoka and Andrew are 29th.
And then?
5th, Andrew?
5th of September.
September 5th? Okay, September 5th is Audrey and Deepak.
Are you coming back? Come faster. That's what I'm
looking for. There's a 12th and the 19th left.
Volunteers, Natasha.
Yeah, there's one for Natasha.
Natasha. You
volunteer?
You gonna volunteer
then? Okay. The 12th?
12th of August.
Yeah, so give that. 12th of September, we'll give that one to Nats and Demetha. Okay. That's good. Nice married couple. And the 19th. Come on, man. It'd be good for you. So, Tree and Dill. Tree and Dill.
Okay. What's the date?
The 19th.
Feel sorry.
Of September. Cool. Okay, so make sure you got each other's numbers. The main thing, make sure you got each other's numbers and Roshi's before.
I'm very positive.
Okay. Okay, here's something else I have for you, for all of you wonderful people that are going to do this. Here. Now this one is something that was, it is copyrighted, but it's from it's not mine, it's from a pastor that I did some work with in the States. It's, again, God speaks to different people differently. He reveals things to you differently. This is just kind of like training wheels, or like, it's kind of like something that may be helpful for you. Use it if you need it. Because some of you, like, may be a little bit scared or whatever. Here. This is just his, when he was saying, okay, like, people asked him, how he prepares to share something. He said, all right, this is how he does it. He just put it into, like, a page to help other people out. Made a photocopy, you have it. Here.
Okay, go.
Yeah. So just pass these around, take one. And,
what's that?
It's, something that might help you if you're doing some preparation. It's not a, like, this is what you have to do, but it's something that, like, if you want to use it, you can use it or use it as a reference. Yeah. Oh, such a good cake. Good choice, whoever bought it. Okay. There should be some extras, so maybe give those to Natasha and Damitab and some of the people that couldn't come. Yeah. Okay. Take the opportunity to say also, I don't just appreciate all of you, I'm very proud of all of you.
You're very,
I do. Yeah. I really, really do. So I think that's the main stuff as far as housekeeping goes. So my email is pretty simple, tidball@gmail.com, if you need to get a hold of me. And
Are you actually going to hear what we're going to be saying?
I don't know. I mean, just if people write back to me. But
really?
I don't know.
Please do not tell
Dave.
Please.
But just when. I mean, this thing kind of, this little kind of guide gives some ideas or some help. But basically, when you spend time before God, when you spend time with God in His presence, allow the Spirit of God just to speak to you. When He speaks to you, just, you know, let it just come out. Just be like, because He'll, you know, typically when He'll show me something for people, what happens is that it's just something just kind of stays with me. You know, it's just there for a while. And then as I start to look into it a little bit, to write a few things down, then something else will come. Then something else will come. If you ever saw my notes before, it's a mess. But whenever I start to speak, because the Spirit of God is there, He puts the whole thing together, sequences everything together. So, it's not about, again, too, it's not about the words that you would say or anything like that. It's purely about your connection with the Father, because it's out of that that He speaks. So it's not you, it's Him. And it's His Spirit that lives inside that does it. Okay. Shall we pray and close out for the night? Okay. Father God, we thank You, Lord, so much for this time. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for the work of Your Spirit. Lord, I thank You, Father, for friends. Lord, I thank You for people, Lord God, that are Yours, Father. And Lord, right now, Lord God, I just pray, Father, for each and every person in this room. Lord, I pray that You would keep them by the power of Your Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You would bless them, Father. Bless their walks with You. Lord, I pray that each and every day that goes by, Father, that they would move more and more into the light of Your presence and what it is that You have for them, and understand, Lord God, the fullness of what You have given them, Lord, in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that You would bless their lives, bless the work of their hands, Father, as they do all things as unto You. And Lord, I just pray that You would keep them, Father, keep them safe, keep them protected, Lord, for everybody that couldn't be here tonight, Lord, the same thing, Father, that You would just watch over them, keep them, protect them, Lord God, strengthen them, Lord, in their walk and in their relationship with You. And Father, may this life, Father, be for every one of them, Lord, what You would desire and intend for it to be. May they live overcoming lives, Father, and enjoy, Lord God, and the joy that You have for them now, and the work and the life and the adventure You have for them now. So, Lord, we bless each other right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You, Father, for all that You've done for us and all that You are doing and plan, Lord, for us as we walk this life out with You. We go on, Father, trusting You, and in Jesus' name.